Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson. Mike Costantino is sitting across from me in the studio.
Out there.
Yeah.
That's a New York word.
Yeah. Well, I guess I read combined mics with folks, and so I got mokes. It is a New York word, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
We've had a series of shows about follow the money in politics, and this is another one. We talked about super PACs, which is where the big action is, right,
Mike? Yeah, we want to do PACs and super PACs today. And one of the things we want to point out is this is not your father's politics. PACs have been around for a while, and they're limited to the $5,000, but they find ways to get around that. Gosar got $42,000 from PACs. But super PACs are especially changing the game, aren't they?
They are, because there's unlimited and secretive contributions coming in. We're going to focus on PACs today because we can trace the money, at least to some extent. We're using a lot of information for opensecrets.org. And we should give them credit for doing the massive amount of research.
Right.
And they research lobbying and they research PACs. But PACs are an older-fashioned kind of group. And they have limitations. They can give $5,000 to a federal candidate per year. So if you go through these research and you see $10,000, they've given $5,000 in each year. We're going to look at the kinds of PACs that there are, because there's a bunch of different kinds of PACs out there. And we're going to focus on Paul Gosar, the PACs that have given money to Paul Gosar.
Yeah, we're going to use him as an example of this. First of all, he's our guy, so that is one reason. The other reason is it's easier to look at one individual and how it works with one individual than looking at a whole bunch. So we are going, like Steve just said, the kinds of PACs we have, with Gosar especially, we have the dental and medical PACs.
Right. These are an industrial PACs, folks, and what they're doing is they're representing a particular profession. I mean, Gosar is a dentist. It makes sense that dental associations will look at him and say, well, we'd like to have a dentist in Congress, and here he is. And so it may not even be, you know, personal or political. It's professional.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's not because they're proud of him. It's because that he's likely to pass legislation favorable to their cause. The other is the National Restaurant Association, and then the California Portland Cement Company is kind of an interesting one as a large contributor to Gosar.
So let's look at a couple of these industry or professional organizations. The dentist, let's go on.
The Dental Association,
when you look at the people who contributed to Gosar, they're some of his largest contributors. They contribute about 28% to Democrats and about 71%, 72% to Republicans. He also has people coming in from radiologists and other medical professions, and they tend to give more money to Democrats, a little bit more money to Democrats than Republicans. So there's some variations within the profession in how they contribute, but it makes sense that he would have, you know, dental associations. He was an officer and wanted to give money to him.
Let's look at leadership PACs, too. That's another kind of PAC.
Leadership PACs. So a PAC can give each congressperson, for example, or congressman or candidate $5,000.
This is,
but a congressman or a congressperson can have a leadership PAC, which they can give another $5,000 to, and then that leadership PAC can give $5,000 to a candidate. So you have candidates can not only, I mean, PACs. Let me be straight. PACs can give not only $5,000 to a candidate, they can give $5,000 to other PACs.
Well,
they can trade around the money.
To trade around, that makes it even harder to follow, by the way. If you're like Steve here and myself doing the research, it's really hard to follow. But so a company can give money to the candidate's PAC, and he can give money to the leadership PAC, and that leadership PAC in turn can give money to another candidate, if we can follow that line.
In fairness, both Republicans and Democrats, particularly really established representatives have these leadership packs.
Well,
that started out with just a very few people. Five or six guys had leadership packs. Now, I think there's over 200 leadership packs for members of Congress.
Well, that's true. I mean, Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision that really started the corporate money flowing into politics was 2 years ago. And just now, and Democrats were fairly quiet about it because they said they wanted to see what was in it for them. And the name of the show is Democratic Perspectives, but it doesn't make our guys saints. They wanted to see what was in it for them, and they've kind of. But now it's obvious that the huge amounts of money. And don't forget, Citizens United says corporations and unions. But I had this argument with a guest on the show, Jim Ledbetter. He said, "Yeah, well, what about the unions? The limitations are off their contributions too, just like corporations." I said, "But the totals are so much different. We're talking about lots and lots more money coming from the corporate side than the unions."
When you look at these contributions and you study them, sometimes you don't know why they're there. Mike has a good guess. There's one of the contributors to Paul Gosar is a company called California Portland Cement. They gave me $5,000, the maximum amount of money. I don't know why they gave it to him. I didn't have time to really look into that. The National Restaurant Association maxed him out, gave him as much money as they could. And the way you figure out what the PACs want is you go from looking at the PAC money and tracing the PAC money, and you look at what bills the group's lobbyists are working on. And the National Restaurant Association, it's anti-union bills.
I'm sure it's anti-union.
And they also want a kind of discount in the way that their taxes are figured. So this is sort of the two main things they were focusing on. When there was a chance that there would be a bill to make it easier to unionize, they switched and suddenly gave a ton of money to the Republicans, 6 to 8 times as much money to the Republicans in 2008 as Democrats. They got scared by this possibility. They don't want a unionized worker. So that you can understand why they're giving the money. The other people that you can understand why they're giving the money are ideological PACs. So Sarah PAC gave Gosar $5,000. And Sarah PAC is Sarah Palin's PAC. And for her, it's an ideological commitment. I mean, they're on the same wavelength, the same sort of Tea Party insurgent wavelength. And any government, whatever government does is bad. They're on the same wavelength. And she gave him $5,000. He hired many of her staffers in his congressional office. We don't know whether there's a connection or not, but then who knows? But it's ideological. And then there are Republican PACs and Democrat PACs. And the Republican PACs give money to Republicans, and the Democratic PACs give money to Democrats. It's all kind of logical and visible. At least you can understand it.
But that we have one. The GOP has one very private man up in Seattle, Thomas Stewart. And I'm looking at a headline in the Seattle Times. Thomas Stewart inhabits a world of power and money.
Right. And moved to Arizona.
Yeah, go ahead.
A few years ago. Thomas Stewart is almost like a Citizen Kane figure. He inherits a stevedore providing business.
Cruise industry.
He builds it into a huge multi-million-dollar business. It's a private business. He's Washington State's largest Republican contributor. He's a power up there. Owns a big chunk of an island off the Seattle mainland. Gives big fireworks show. So some of the locals love him. But Thomas Stewart kind of overreaches, and he does a couple of things. So Gosar's largest contributors, who gave him $42,850 in 2010 election, are the Services Group of America, and they faced the second largest fines in United States history for illegal contributions to campaigns.
Yeah, you know, this is, as far as I'm concerned, we don't, is corruption in politics. This is the face of, this is what corruption in politics looks like. This is especially in contributions.
How does this work,
anyway,
Mike? What happens is, and what they got caught doing, he got fined the first time $600,000.
Right.
All right. He wants to have a helicopter pad on his building in Seattle, and Seattle doesn't want to give it to him, or they're slow in giving it to him. He slips $60,000 under the table to reorganize Seattle government, which is represented by council people at large, so that they're represented by district, where he has a better chance of controlling the outcome of his helicopter pad. He's that kind of guy. If you don't give him what he wants, he'll reorganize government to get what he wants. They catch him. People inform on him. 2 years later, 1998, he's fined $5 million because he slipped $100,000 into a congressional campaign. He's a talented businessman, but he gets into headbutting contests, really, with people who work for him. And some of the people he fired go public with it. Again, here's the way the game works. I give you an $8,000 bonus, probably 10 times that, but I give you an $8,000 bonus on the understanding that you kick in money to our PAC. And that's what he gets caught doing. So he has problems in Washington. People are skeptical. He's running his slaughterhouse illegally on his property. He has a helicopter pad without permission for 8 years before they catch up to him. Finally, one of his neighbors complained. Washington changes the inheritance laws, and he moves to Arizona.
All right.
They're now based in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And he starts contributing. And the largest contribution that Services Group of America, which looks like a food services corporation, gives is to Paul Gosar.
He's a very private guy. He won't even tell you how many employees work for his company.
I mean, so it looks, Mike, like an industrial contribution, but it's really an ideological contribution.
Right.
This particular company, food service company, only gives money to conservative Republicans.
Right.
That's who they give money. They don't give money to Democrats. They're not trying to equalize things out or give a little money to Democrats so they won't complain too much about how much money you're giving to Republicans.
He is a heavyweight.
He's a heavyweight hitter. And here's a man who wanted to reorganize a major American city's government so he could have a helicopter pad. He's tragically killed in a helicopter accident.
We do want to make sure we credit Open Secrets for this, for a lot of this information.
Yeah, and what is the name of the Seattle Times? Seattle Times for much of the other research we've done. Seattle Times, there have been other, their Spokane paper has been very good about about these issues.
I did hear that Congress's approval rating was up to 13% this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Broke out of single digits.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons, folks. So there's the super PAC money that we can't trace. We've had two programs talking about dark money. This is the PAC money where we can sort of follow it. If we had enough time, see, the problem is they're spending $100 million on $1 billion on lobbyists a year, different groups. And there's nobody who can spend that amount of money to do the research to follow what's happening.
Right.
But some groups try.
The point of doing all this is that it's a complete subversion of the democratic process. When you have this kind of money flowing into elections, then everything else becomes campaigning, all the old-fashioned stuff that we think is politics and finding out about a candidate and finding who's the best man for the job is, and all those quaint, as far as I'm concerned, cliches don't matter anymore.
Right. So even when there are restrictions, you have ways of getting around the restriction. PAC donations to other PACs, PAC donations that have been and other donations have been pried out of people who work for the company, usually upper management. And so you can take instead of $5,000, you end up with a much, much larger figure.
So this information and a lot of the backup stuff will be on the VVID.org website. It's a lot of the multi-layered and a lot is a little confusing. We tried to clear it up a little bit for you.
So there are PACs. There are super PACs. There are we could go on. It's an alphabet and numerical soup.
Next week is economics.
Yes. Next week we'll be talking to Dean Baker. He's a distinguished Keynesian economist. He's head of a think tank in Washington, co-director of it. And he's a leading figure in trying to understand how the housing bubble happened. He's a major American economist and talking about the housing bubble.
Two shows.
We're going to do two shows, one on the economy and the other probably on the housing bubble. been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.